In the name of Christ Jesus, the light of the world, please be seated. In the three Sundays before Lent, we are given by our gospel texts a chance to review the three great solas of theology, the three great alones. By grace alone, through faith alone, and scripture alone. Last week, with the parable of the workers in the vineyard, we saw the grace of God in action, his great love, his great generosity, which we ought not to let our covetousness or jealousy begrudge. And this week, in the parable of the sower and the seed, we will be dealing with the gift of Scripture, of God's Word, of the proclamation of the gospel, and some of the frustrations we encounter when we use God's Word. The explanation of the parable begins, "The seed is the word of God." So with that in mind, let's examine the text. "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed.'" Now normally when thinking about or looking at a parable, I'll jump right into the parable itself. It makes sense. If you want to study a parable, you look at the parable. But note this introduction. There is a great crowd, people from town after town. And what's Jesus doing? He's preaching. He is proclaiming the word. Even as he's speaking this parable, Jesus is the sower. He is scattering his word out upon the crowd. If you want to think of it this way, the parable is an explanation to the disciples, to us, of what's going to happen with that word that Christ Jesus is proclaiming right then and there. It's what happens with the word of God that we proclaim even to this very day. And he does so by the image of a sower scattering his seed. Now, this is still a very powerful image in our society today. Even though it's probably been a while since any of you farmers walked along with a bag of seed and just started tossing it, this is one of those images that we have as Americans, be it Johnny Appleseed, who was a big deal back in the Great Lakes where I grew up, or even the sower that I have on my class ring, because that is one of OU's major logos. We know sowers. We know how sowing works. And sowing like that was a haphazard way of doing things. It's not cold or precise or logical. It doesn't measure the cost of the seed and make sure that not a grain is wasted. It doesn't plant the seed in the specific, precise place where it's supposed to be. Rather, it scatters. It throws the seed to the wind, and then it lets the wind take it where the wind wills. And this, too, is an important idea. We'll say wind today, but in Hebrew or Greek or Latin, the word for wind and the word for spirit are the same thing. There's a parallel being set up here. Just as the wind blows the seed where it wills, so too the Holy Spirit will take the word of God wherever the Holy Spirit wills. Jesus tells the same idea to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he says, "The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So this is what we're seeing here in this setup. We see the sower tossing out his seed, trusting that it will be carried to where it needs to go. "And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. So out goes the seed. Some of the seed ends up not being very productive. Not because it's bad seed. Not because it's not good somehow. Just stuff happens. The birds eat some of it. Some of it hits rocky soil. Some of it gets killed off by weeds. We're surrounded by fields here. We all know the sort of things that can happen to a crop. That happens to some. And then some of the seed sprouts and grows and matures and yields a harvest. It's just what you see in agriculture. And if you toss in drought or hail or bugs, we get the same sort of things even with our well-drilled fields today. Jesus here is just pointing out the common, simple things that happen. And then he adds, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples are confused. What's the point? What does all this mean? And so Jesus says to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Right here, Jesus is referencing a common refrain of the Old Testament about idols and idolaters. The idols, the statues, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they hear nothing. And those who worship them, who fall into idolatry, they don't see God's truth even though it's clear in front of them. They don't hear the word of God even when it's proclaimed to them. The truth is simple. As simple as what happens to a crop that is sown. But some will just not get it. They will deny it. They'll fight against it. And Jesus explains this in detail. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Jesus is saying, there are going to be folks in that crowd who just heard me preach who are going to blow it off right away. They'll shrug it off. There are those who Satan has convinced that there is no God, or that if there was a God, he would be doing something much more spectacular than just talking about some crazy old farmer. After all, we heard that this miracle worker Jesus was passing by, and we come all this way to see him, and all he does is talk about tossing seed. This is the simple reality of what's going to happen. There are going to be those who hear the word of God and couldn't care less. There are going to be those who hear and they just decide to mock, to belittle it, or to ignore it. They remain fast bound in Satan's clutches. It happens. Disciples, don't be surprised when it happens. And you here as well, do not be surprised when it happens. Your beliefs, the truth of God that you proclaim, will not always be respected or even well received. That's just the reality of life here in a fallen world. There is another thing that happens in this world. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. What else will you see, O disciples? There will be those who love what you preach, but then life won't suddenly get better. Things will remain hard, and they will flit away. They'll decide that the word of God doesn't give them enough, and off they'll go. Does this not still happen today? Where there is the third possibility. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. Do we not see this one all the time? Is not America the land of cares and riches and pleasures? We have so much wealth and luxuries, and yet we're worried about so many things. The artist of today will point out how when there's more money, there's just more problems. And how many people today are just simply too busy, have too much going on for them to hear the word of God. And they slowly just fall away. They waste away. And this is just what's going to happen in the fallen world. Then, of course, there is the fourth possibility. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And in some, the word, the precious seed takes root, springs forth and bears abundant fruit. This too is something else that happens, something that we see. So then, what do we do with this parable that we have heard? Where do we go from here? I ask that question. And the first thing that comes to my mind are all the stupid, foolish, wrong-headed answers that I've heard. There's no parable that gets used as a springboard for more stupidity and tomfoolery than this one. I've heard people say that this parable teaches us that as Christians, we need to focus our efforts on evangelization, on finding that good soil, to make sure that we don't waste our time, our churchly efforts on bad and rocky ground. So let's get this straight. The parable describes how the word of God is generously proclaimed to all, carried by the Spirit all over the place. But oh no, no, we need to focus on figuring out who's good. Because we're the masters of reading men's hearts, I guess. Or another take that I'll hear is where it becomes a giant law bomb. All right, people, you here better be good soil. You better start producing fruit. I want more fruit and I want it now. An impatient demand for good works. Even as we're told that we will bear fruit with patience. No, what is this parable teaching us? As Luther would say, as we ought to be able to recite, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. That is the truth that we see, that we hear in this gospel lesson, in this parable. This parable is to be a comfort. And you have been given eyes to see and ears to hear by God, not so that God can terrify you, but so that he can comfort you. You live in a sinful world, a world where terrible and horrible things happen. And God gets mocked, faith gets tested, and we're often just so busy. That is true. But God still comes to you in his word. The Holy Spirit still wields the gospel, and he does not do so coldly or harshly. God does not sit combing the details of your life to see if he ought to cut you off the gospel train. But instead, the seed is scattered. The word is proclaimed. It's to be proclaimed here in this place, even if you've had a terrible week, even if you've been particularly nasty this past week. A sower went out to sow a seed. God's word is to be proclaimed without a care for where it lands, whether or not those hearing it are worthy enough. My job as your pastor isn't to figure out how good or bad you are. It's to proclaim Christ Jesus and that he has died for your sins. And then the Holy Spirit, he'll do his thing. Likewise, in your own lives, don't be afraid to confess the faith, to confess Christ Jesus, tell others that he died for them and that they're forgiven. Some won't care. Some will fall away. That happens. But as for you, you know the truth of what Christ has done. Cling to Christ. Hear the word. Know that the scriptures are true. Know that Christ has died for you and that your sin is forgiven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.